Jesus has made a way. When darkness is all around, Jesus, who says, I am the light of the world. He who follows after me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. That word life, it means to live. To live. Again, one of those moments when you come to a place and say, Jesus, there is no other way. I am strapped. I have no hope. I am at the end. What would it be if we come to a place to really understand that only in Him is my real hope? Only in Him can I be strong. That I will allow my heart to take courage because my confidence is in Him. Man, Brent's going to sing this one more time, and I just want you to hear it. Where there is no way. Hey, you believe that Jesus makes a way? And in Him, there is hope. Come on.
Where there is no way, you make a way. Where no one else can reach us, you find us. Where there is no way, you make a way. Where no one else can reach us, you find us. Sing Jesus. Jesus, it's always been you, Jesus, it's always is you, Jesus, it always will be you, oh, singing Jesus, it's always
God, thank you so much for this morning. Christ, our hope is only in you. Christ, our hope lies in you. That is our confidence. It's our expectation. It gives us a new outlook this morning. When things look hopeless, we turn to you. Father, in our darkest hour, we turn to Jesus, who is the light of the world. So that we will no longer need to walk in darkness. But we will have light that illuminates and shows us the way. Jesus, thank you. Thank you. Father, I hope that you are honored this morning in our time of worship. God, I ask that you would speak to us this morning from your word. God, as we come before you hungry for your word this morning, God, speak to us today, please. God, speak hope and life into our lives, into our hearts. God, we come before you to hear from you this morning. God, we come knowing that this is truth and this is alive and powerful and it is active to those who will respond to it, God. It is effective to those who will believe it. Father, please, by your Holy Spirit, pinpoint this message to the heart of man, to the heart of mankind, to husbands and wives, to young adults, to those who are young and to those who are old. God, speak to us this morning, please. Your word is powerful. It is life-changing. We come before you with an eye ready to see exactly what you have for us today and an ear ready to hear from you. And got a heart that's open to respond to what we hear. Father, please, let us hear this message not as a word of man, but from what you said it is. It's truly a word of God that you administer to our hearts this morning. Folks, if you would ask God this morning, God, speak to me today. God, speak to me today. God, I need this. I need to hear this. God, I'm here and I'm here on purpose. And I need to hear what you have to say. So speak to my heart. And God, I'll respond to this. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Folks, can we thank our worship team, please? Come on. Yes, yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It's huge. Man. Amen. Seriously. So excited that you're here. Hello, my name is Sean Obergfell. I'm pumped that you're here today. Yeah, you like that. That's funny. That's good. Folks, I want to talk to you this morning about, honestly, man, what took place in a major something like this, man. But we know biblically it's probably like a feeding trough. We make it look all pretty. But Jesus, who is the King of Kings, Jesus, who is the Son of God, Jesus, who is God himself, came, left heaven, left that heaven, came to that which he created to be born in a feeding trough because there was no room for him in the inn. It's amazing. Amazing. And I'll tell you that when Jesus came, when that angel came to Mary and said, listen, this is the deal, man. You are favored by God and you're going to give birth to the Son of God. And you're not going to know him, man. The Holy Spirit's going to impregnate. It's going to be amazing. And she says, well, how can that be? Because I'm a virgin. That's the cool thing. You're a virgin and the Spirit of God's going to come on you. And it's going to be like never before and never again ever to happen. And in that, gang, in that, it changed everything. That since then, never been the same. Never been the same. Man, you ever have moments in your life that you are just, there are these things that take place in your life that you have never been the same since. Like Renee, when Renee asked me to marry her, man, she has never been the same since. She saw me across that, you know, that dark, crowded room, and man, her life has truly been a challenge ever since. It's awesome. But honestly, for you who are married, you know, man, it changes everything. What about that time that you hold your first child, that your child, for the very first time, God, you have given him or you have given her to me. God, it changes everything, folks. When you hold your first for the very first time, it's amazing. And your life is never the same. Never the same. Man, I just want about 30 minutes. That I believe that, man, if you plug into this and if you hear this, what God would have for you this morning. And you would see, man, since Jesus and because of Jesus and because of God's love for me, man, it's never been the same since. It is life changing. Well, we can turn to two places this morning, please. If you have your Bibles, I think the lights are good. Well, you can see Galatians 4. A lot of verses will be up on the screen so you can see Galatians 4. Please, you can turn there, and you can turn over to Luke 1. Put your finger in Luke 1. We'll be there in a minute. But we'll start in Galatians 4. Man, this is this is the word of God. This is what it says. Galatians 4:4. But when the fullness of time came, man, you got to understand, God of all eternity, God who has always been, has had no start. He's always been. He's never had a beginning. And he looks at all of eternity and in a very specific, exact, perfect timing. This is what it says. When the fullness of time came, God sent forth his son, born of a woman, born under the law, so that he might redeem. Powerful word. That he may buy back. He may purchase to a place of freedom. That's what redeem means. The Bible is very clear that all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Why is it that we come to God so amazed, so thankful, so reverent, so in a place of being, in a place of praise and worship? Because we recognize, man, there was once a state that I walked in that was death because of sin. But Jesus came right here, changed everything, because when Jesus came, he came for what? That he might redeem, that he might buy back, he might purchase and make free again those who are slaves to sin. And gang, the Bible says all have sinned and fall short. It's amazing that in that absolute perfect moment of time, for a God who is eternal and forever, it was fulfilled. To redeem those who are under law, that we may receive, now this is amazing, the adoption as sons. Because you are sons, God has sent forth his Spirit of his Son into our hearts, crying, Abba Father. What a relationship that we have. Gang, this is, we never have experienced this before, but when Jesus came, when he came, the Spirit of God came. And when you come to know Christ as Savior and Lord, the Spirit of God, the Bible says, comes into your life. So we get to a point to call him Abba Father and build such an amazing relationship with God the Father, who loves you with such a desperate, desperate love. I mean, when you look at different things, I want to go to Luke 1, and you look at these different things, and there's so many different areas that Jesus changed everything when he came. And the story goes like this in Luke 1. Now in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city in Galilee called Nazareth, to a virgin engaged to a man whose name was Joseph of the descendants of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And coming in, he said to her, "Greetings, favored one, the Lord is with you." But she was very perplexed at this statement, kept pondering what kind of salutation this was. And the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold," look at what the angel says. Look at the statements that are made about Jesus. "And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall name him Jesus. And he will be great, and he will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give him a throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom will have no end." Could you imagine the one who was born in a feeding trough has such a resume? This is who he will be. Gang, every one of us, when we hold our children and we begin to plan our children, we look, say, "God, who is it that my son will be? Who is it that my daughter will be? Who is it? Well, my second son, God, who will they be? What is the map of their life?" Look at this is what Jesus says. He gives us, this is what the angel says. "He will be great. He will be called the Son of the Most High. He will give him a throne. He will reign, and his kingdom will have no end." And now I want you to see this list. This is other parts of the Bible, New Testament and Old Testament, of what is said about Jesus before his birth. "He will save his people from their sins." That Matthew 1:23 is amazing. "Emmanuel," the scripture says, "God with us." That moment of all creation, the one who was created, the sun, the moon, and the stars, has to enter his creation, the fulfillment of time when God of all creation enters into that which he created to save man. Amazing. God with us. In a feeding trough. "He will be great to the ends of the earth. The one will be our peace. The government will rest on his shoulders. Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Eternal Father, Prince of Peace. No end to his government or his peace from then on and forevermore." Folks, please hear it. Never the same again. Jesus showed up. What an amazing testimony. What amazing prophecy from New Testament to Old Testament. That Mary and Joseph could go into the old scriptures and go back and get into Micah and get into Isaiah and begin to see, who is this child that's going to be great? Who is this Son of God that we are giving birth? Who is this? Man, he is Wonderful Counselor. He is Mighty God. He is Eternal Father. He is the Prince of Peace. He will have no end to his government or his peace from then on and forevermore. You could imagine what Mary and Joseph were thinking. What a resume. How do we fulfill this? What a responsibility. Because they knew when Jesus came, he was about to change everything and it would never be the same again. Folks, when you understand what it is, man, this is from my perspective as a police officer and as a pastor. People need hope. Folks, there is a loss of hope. What happens when you lose hope? What happens when you come to the end of the rope and you can't hang on? What happens when you feel that there is just crazy all around? What happens when you're trying to hold on to hope? Then where is it that you put your hope? What is it that you put your hope in? Listen, Jesus, again, the Bible says in 1 Peter 1:3 that our hope as believers is a living hope, because our hope is in that which is alive. Hebrews 6 says this. It'll be up on the screen. I want to read this to you. Gang, this is amazing. Hebrews 6:18. So that two unchangeable things that is impossible for God to lie, we who are taking refuge, that means taking shelter, would have strong encouragement to take hold of the hope, to take hold of that confidence, to take hold of that new outlook, to take hold of what it is to have something to look forward to. See, folks, unfortunately, there are so many who are without hope, whether it is a marriage, whether it is a son or a daughter, whether it is a friend, whether it's yourself. You come this morning knowing someone who has lost hope. See, when you can bring hope to a person, you give them a new outlook. When you can bring hope to somebody, you give them something to look forward to. And look at this. This is what we have to look forward to. Take hold of, man. Grab on to that hope. I mean, this is aggressive, folks. Hold on. Grab on. Never let go of that hope. Never let go of that confidence. Never let go of what it is that we have to look forward to. Never let go of that hope that is set before us. This hope we have as an anchor of our soul. Get that. This hope, Christ in us, our living hope, is an anchor to our soul. What is it in an anchor? If any of you sail, you understand the value of an anchor. It keeps you solid. It keeps you from drifting. It keeps you from just going with every wave that comes from the sea. When you anchor down, it secures your position. Again, when you have a hope in Christ, when you understand we always, always have eternity to look forward to. No more sorrow, no more pain, no more anxiety, no more worries, no more hurt. No more tears. God Himself will wipe away my tears. That is my hope. That is what I look forward to. That I anchor onto, and that I know will be set before me. And get this, please. When you have a hope, it secures, man. It makes your position solid so that you can come to a place to take hold of in an aggressive position that I will be steadfast in my mind. That's what to be take courage means, that I will be steadfast in my mind. I will not be moved away from the hope that I have in Christ. Do you have that position this morning? Do you have this position, this hope we have as an anchor of our soul? A hope both sure and steadfast, and one which enters within the veil. One that is sure, absolute, and it is steadfast, it is immovable. Gang, that's a hope. And that, when you understand that hope, when you get that, you will never be the same again. When you understand the hope of Christ in your life, you know I always have something to look forward to. I have this confidence that Christ is always with me. I have this absolute assurance. I will be sure and steadfast that there will be a day that I will be before the Father and I will be with Him for an eternity in worship and praise. Man, that is our hope. Can we give Him thanks this morning for that, please? Amen. Come on. Yes. Folks, the second thing is this. What is it to have a peace? Folks, you look around, man, and you watch the news. And you see people that you know and care for and you love. And you recognize, man, there is no stillness. There is no rest in them. There is, man, we are not at peace. What is it, folks? What is it that when Jesus came, we'll never be the same again to our peace? We can have a peace. We read over and over three times that He is the one of peace. His peace will be everlasting. In fact, He is the Prince of Peace. That's the one that Jesus came, the very one who says to us, "My peace I give you." It's amazing. Folks, what is it to walk into a sense where you will never be the same again when you understand the peace of Christ? When you have that peace in your heart, when you have that peace within your soul, when you have that peace to know God is for me, who can be against me? God is on my side. Jesus reigns in my heart. And the Bible says that when you are steadfast of mind, Isaiah 26, when you have a steadfast mind, when your mind is stuck on Him, you will have what? A perfect peace. the steadfast of mind, God, you will keep in perfect peace for those who trust in you. And the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, will guard your hearts and your mind in Christ. Isn't it amazing that you who walk in Christ, you recognize the very peace that Jesus brings. You recognize that when I came to Jesus, he is the Prince of Peace, and I've never been the same since. I have this rest. I have this quiet within me. It's amazing that when you go through chaos, and you go through hard times, and you go through the difficulties, the Bible says this, that peace of God, that stillness, that quiet, that rest, it is beyond, it surpasses, goes far beyond all comprehension. In your version, it may say all understanding. Well, the world can look in and say, how is it that you are at peace when there is chaos all around? Because that peace has guarded my heart. Because that peace has guarded my mind. I'm not going to let my mind wander to poison. I'm not going to allow poison to get into my heart. I'm going to walk in a place of peace. I will have the rest of God in my life to know that no matter what chaos is in my world, no chaos is outside my door. It's not getting in here. It's not coming here. I'm not going to let it in my mind. I'm not going to let the chaos into my heart. I'm going to come to a place to walk in a peace that surpasses all understanding because of Christ, who is the Prince of Peace, who is in my life. And because of that, I've never been the same since. As a matter of fact, I want you to see this. John tells us this. John 14, 27. Can you imagine what Jesus says here? This is huge. This is huge. Don't miss this. Jesus says, peace, that stillness, that quiet, he says, peace I leave with you. And then Jesus says this amazing word. He said, my peace, the peace that I have, I give to you. Not as the world gives, do I give. Do not. Then he says this. Again, you want the peace of Christ? Then he says this. Do not let your heart be troubled. Nor let it be afraid. Wouldn't it be wonderful to walk not with a troubled mind and a troubled heart, to walk not walking in fear, but to understand what Jesus is saying here. Jesus, the one in the feeding trough, grew up to say this to his followers, the disciples, you and I, who've confessed and believed that Christ Jesus is Lord. We are his disciples, man. We are his followers. And he says this, peace I leave with you. My peace, the peace that Jesus had. Gang, please don't think this is not in the absence of chaos. This is not the absence of strife. Jesus was amongst haters. Jesus was amongst traitors and betrayers. Jesus was those who persecuted him. And he was amongst resistance after resistance. His own family called him crazy. He was amongst those who would mock him, who would beat him, who tied to a post and literally whip him and shred him, put a crown of thorns on his head, would kneel down in absolute mockery, would spit on him, make fun of him. And where's Jesus? In the midst, man, in the middle of chaos. The Bible says Jesus was at peace. And then he says, that's the peace that I give to you. It's not a peace. Anybody can walk in peace when there's no chaos. Anybody can have peace when it's absence of strife. But what about, and all of us, gang, all of us understand what chaos is. All of us understand a bad season of life. Sometimes we go through things that we just don't understand. Sometimes there is chaos on every corner. But Jesus says in the midst of that, Jesus knew chaos in every corner. He knew that his disciples and followers were going to abandon him and turn their backs on him. He knew he'd be tied to a tree, and it was on purpose. He tells the followers, that peace that I've had is that same peace that I give to you. I don't give as the world gives. It's not a temporary peace. It's not just a peace, as the world knows, that's when there is no chaos, we're at rest and we're at quiet. He says, it's not that type of peace. It's a peace in the midst of crazy, in the midst of hurt, in the midst of pain, in the midst of abandonment, in the midst of strife. There can be a rest, and there can be a quiet. Do not let your heart be troubled, nor let it be fearful. The last thing is this. That changed everything, folks. We're here celebrating Christmas, the birth of our King. Jesus, who is God. Jesus, who is our Savior. Jesus, who is the Redeemer. Jesus, the one who brings us life. When you understand what it is to have the life of Christ, He says a thief comes to steal and destroy. But I have come, changes everything. I have come that you may have life. And this word life, it means that you may live. That you may live. And have it abundantly. Far above and beyond. Changes everything. And folks, when you understand what it is to have the life of Christ in you, and it comes through Jesus. I have come to give you life. And you'll have it abundantly. And then the Bible says this, 1 John 5:12. He who has the Son has life. But he who does not have the Son of God does not have life. Gang, have you experienced the love of God in such a way the Bible says God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. And it started in a feeding trough. And it ended on a cross. And then we see Jesus raised from the dead and resurrected. And then come to a point to ascend to the Father where he sits today at the right hand of God. Gang, have you come to a place to recognize what it is to have that hope in Jesus? And to have that peace that only comes from Christ. It's not the way the world lives. It's not the way the world has it. But it is a rest, man. It is a quiet that comes from Jesus. If you come to understand what it is to have life in Christ. Come on, if we could borrow heads, please, just for a minute. Folks, I know that many of you are visitors here at Believer's Chapel. And I know it's a special day. And I know that maybe your wife have asked you to come, or your husband has asked you to come, or your mom has asked you to come. And you're here. And you're here on purpose. You chose to be here this morning. Do you have that hope that only Jesus brings? Do you have, no matter how tough it gets here, do you have that confident outlook? I know Christ is in me, and absent from this body is to be home with the Lord. I know last breath here is first breath home. I know that only because what Jesus has done for me. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Nobody comes to the Father except through me. That's what Jesus said. One way, and it's Christ. And in Him, there is this expectation. There is this hope. Changes the whole outlook of your lives when you come to know Christ. And we have to come to know Christ on His terms. The Bible says all have sinned and fall short. That means, man, not one of us are good enough to make it to heaven. Nobody is good enough. That's why Jesus came. And it's you and I, when we recognize and understand, man, I am completely lost because of my wrongdoing, because of my sin, I am lost. But Jesus came to take care of that. Jesus came as a picture on the cross that God's punishment was poured out on His own Son. That should have been me, but Jesus took the hit for me so that I don't have to. And in that was payment for my sin. And in that, I understand that Jesus took my sin, for He said that I have buried it in the deepest part of the sea. God said, I have put it behind me. I have removed it as far as the east is from the west. Do you know that? Do you understand what Jesus did for you? And how necessary, man, we've got to understand God loves you so much that He sent His Son to die on a cross for you. That would change everything. Never the same when you come to Christ. You have a hope that only those who follow Christ know. There is a peace that you only have for those who are in Christ. And there is eternal life and abundantly to live for those who know Christ. Father, I thank you for this morning. God, please. God, your word is real and it is true. Man, if you're in this place this morning, I'm just asking, do you know Jesus? Do you know that hope, that confidence? Do you have that peace? And do you know that I have everlasting life only because of what Jesus did for me? And for those of you who might question that, you come to a place this morning. And God says, if you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that Christ is Lord and Christ has risen from the dead, and if you come to a place to call on the name of Jesus, you will be saved. The Bible says that God will come by His Spirit to come and dwell within you. It's amazing all that God has done for us. But it's on you and I to come to a place to see the need. I need Jesus. I need that hope. I need that peace. I need that everlasting life. I know that I don't have it because of my wrong in my life, because of the sin. Jesus took care of that. Jesus came at the fulfillment of time to redeem me, to buy me back, to purchase my freedom, that I would belong to Him. And in that I come to a place to confess that He is Lord, that He is Master, that He is Supreme, that no one is like Him. No one can save like Jesus. No one. And I confess that He is Lord. And I do believe that my living hope, my hope is alive because of His resurrection. And this morning, right here, I call on Jesus' name to be saved. I admit my sin. I come to Him today. I'm lost. I'm broken. I'm hurting. Jesus, I need you. Jesus, I need you. Amen. These guys are going to close us out in a song. Come on.